Coming to you live from his padded cell high atop Bethel Church, the most heralded, the most despised talk show in all of human history. This is the talk show Hell Hates. This is Pastor Mike Online.
Coming to you live from our top secret broadcasting bunker here at Area 52, this is Pastor Mike. I'm online and I'm live with you today. Had some pretty rough storms in the Midwest yesterday. My son sent me a text message with a picture in it of a very, very black sky. This was about, I'm going to say about 10 or 11 in the morning. Then I got the text from him. He said, tornado touchdown right over. And I'm just, what? Called him. Matthew, you okay? Yeah, why? Tornado? Yeah, it blew over. How's the kids? Yeah, they're fine. Okay. And one of the families stayed a week after homecoming. They decided to not leave early yesterday morning, head back up to Minnesota. They stopped here first, dillied and dallied, and then just missed the tail of the storms as it came east and south. It's the way the jet stream in this part of the world takes it. All the weather. Some of the weather in the St. Louis area comes right down Highway 70. From Kansas City into St. Louis. Some of it rides up the old Route 66, Interstate 44, coming up out of Texas, Oklahoma, then up into Missouri. I wonder if they pay the tolls on the turnpikes in Oklahoma. But anyway, we got up this morning, branches everywhere, all over the yard today. Got a couple boys in the church out there cleaning it up. I'm going to pay them well for that. And so anyway, but we're doing fine here. All except yesterday was the hottest day of the year here in Festus. Temperatures reached up to about 97, 98 degrees with that high Gulf moisture humidity. And one of the air conditioning units where all my girls work was out yesterday. It's fixed now. But it got hot. So kudos to them for sticking around, getting the packets out. Watchman packets are headed out. They would be on the mail, your mailbox, shortly. I've got a ton of things to talk about. Didn't get with you last. I felt bad all last week. And today, not feeling the best. My wife's downstairs. She's been kind of laying down puny today, which she doesn't do. I do it more than she does. I'll say that. I'm the weaker one. And I said, honey, lay on the couch for a while. So I don't know if something's going around or what it is, but this is the talk show Hell Hates. And you know, if hell hates it, then they try to work against it. So let me look through. Let me go to the LibertyDaily.com. There's a bunch of headlines. If you missed, number one, President Trump's press conference yesterday, he gets into it in just a few seconds. All of a sudden, Secret Service guy's coming out saying, Mr. President, you need to come with us. Leave now. And he's learned if his Secret Service tell him to move, he moves. That they train those guys, especially Trump. Trump just said the other day, because he's taking on some very wealthy and very powerful people, he said, if you don't see me in the next few days, you'll know why. Of course, the press jumps all over that. And but boom, he was out because a man approached the White House yesterday afternoon, last night, some point, and got in front of a Secret Service agent there to protect the White House. It did not breach the White House itself, did not breach the grounds of the White House, but got up to it. And turned around and looked like he was pulling something out of a jacket or a coat or something like that. The police described it as an object when I saw the press conference last night. And they said he turned around in a manner consistent with making a shot. In other words, he turned around and assumed a position like he was going to shoot something, and Secret Service guy put a bullet in him. Of course, they immediately started CPR. They got him to the hospital. I haven't heard this morning if he's dead or alive. The local news had nothing about it this morning. Not one word. So I don't know what all happened. But then on top of that, before that happened, Mayor Lightheaded Lori Lightfoot Beetlejuice. Have you seen her? She looks like Beetlejuice. If you've ever seen that movie, go type in Beetlejuice. Look it up. She looks like him. And listen. When it comes to her, gloves are off. She allowed. Let me look at the headline here. She allowed. There was an area of Chicago that, you know, when you're an oppressed race and no white person will ever give you a job because of your skin color, and there's no place to work, and your kids are starving to death, and you're getting no health care whatsoever, and you're in slavery, a 78-inch flat panel ultra-high definition television cures that instantly. The Black Lives Matter communists loot Tesla dealership, the Apple store, Nordstrom, Walgreens, there's liquor and drugs there, Macy's, Coach. You don't think they went in Walgreens and stole Dr. Pepper, do you? And magazines, hunting magazine. You don't think they did that? So why did they go in Walgreens? Nordstrom, already read that. Where else? Macy's, Coach, Gucci, Louis Vuitton, and Best Buy. Using U-Haul trucks, over 13 police officers injured, 100 arrests. Now, what you want to bet, most of those people will walk. The communist Black Lives Matter, Kim Gardner, the St. Louis City prosecutor, is ticked off because the Missouri State prosecutor, the attorney general of the state of Missouri, says, well, there's a crime bill now before the Missouri House and Missouri Senate. And our conservative, I don't know if he's a Christian or not, but he's a good conservative guy, ex-sheriff, governor of the state of Missouri, is writing up a crime bill, and he said, oh, we're going to add this, which is going to allow the attorney general of the state of Missouri to step into St. Louis and start prosecuting murderers. Kim Gardner has failed to prosecute a single murder in St. Louis. Now, you tell me why. Why do you hate your own people so much? You hate them over your own political power and your own political ego. You hate your own people so much that you won't even try to find out who killed your neighbor's grandson. You're sick. There's something wrong with you. You weren't raised right. You were probably never touched. You were probably never put in time out. Never punished. And you think that all of the problems in the inner city is because of us white people down here in Jefferson County. There's something wrong with your head. But yeah, they're going to step in. And she's all up in arms. Well, that just steps over the authority that the electors gave me when they elected me. I'm an elected official. Well, do your job. Don't ask me to go up to St. Louis. In fact, I tell people when they come to visit Bethel, I wouldn't go up there. We don't go up there. Don't go to downtown. Used to be a great place to go. Shops, restaurants, museums. You know, you got St. Louis baseball, best baseball in the world. You got the St. Louis Arch. You can ride riverboats. I mean, you can just, there's all kinds of things to do. And I wouldn't go downtown now. There is a, there's a farmer's market in downtown St. Louis, Soulard's Market. It's, close to Anheuser-Busch Brewery. And, I mean, it's a great, wonderful, just old style outdoor, mostly outdoor, half of it indoor farmer's market. They got shops everywhere. It kind of reminded me of going into, you know, Old Town Mexico in Matamoros, Mexico, where they had all these markets and these shops and everything like that. That's what it reminded me of. And I wouldn't recommend anybody going up there, because if you get shot or somebody you know gets shot and killed, good luck on the killer ever going and seeing a day in jail, simply because Kim Gardner hates police. Speaking of police, Seattle, they meant it. When they said defund the police, that wasn't a spelling error. The city council approved a budget amendment where they slashed millions and millions of dollars out of the police budget. And I mean slashed it. They're going to get rid of over 100 police officers in Seattle. Now, Sweetie Pie and I were just there last year. We went a couple of days ahead of time. We had a cruise, an Alaskan cruise going from Seattle. Decided to go a day early, visit Mount Rainier, and we visited a family that lives up in that area. Had a great time. We went down to the port area, and there's a little shopping area there. It's a really neat place, and that's where the guys throw the fish across, you know, and they'll do it just for cameras and stuff like that. And just a fantastic place to go. And I won't go now. I won't go now for all the Alaskan cruises in China. I wouldn't go. And so, not only did their black police chief say, I'm quitting in a month, because they cut the police chief's salary, cut the budget of the police. The article here on the Liberty Daily says, radical anti-American Democrats chase black Seattle police chief out of town after defund the police vote. Now, there is something far worse. Let me pull this up. I've got to tell you about. And this is an interesting. Let me pull this up here. I didn't have this ready. I've got so much on my mind right now. Here we go. No, well, let's see here. I should put the hashtag in front of that. Here we go. This came across, I don't think I can put it on the screen because I don't know exactly what website I'm on, so I don't trust it. This came across my Twitter account. On September 17th, 2020, we will lay siege to the White House for exactly 50 days. September 17th, November 3rd. Imagine that. November 3rd. What day is that? Election day. We need your wisdom and expertise to pull off a radically democratic. Democratic is a buzzword for communist. Every time the Ruskies wanted to refer to communism, they said, democratic! No, it's not democracy. When you only get one person to vote on, that's not democracy. Radically democratic tone shift in our politics. Are you ready for the revolution? This is the White House siege. The occupation starts September 17, 2020. Now, I spent some time thinking about this. On Sunday, I'm standing with Sweetie Pie after church. She had to go to Walmart and get a prescription, so she's in line. I'm sort of standing aside. I'm socially distant. And there was an older man sort of behind me, but really in line behind Lisa, and I'm looking at this on my phone. I'm looking at this ad on my phone, and I'm going, I can't believe this. And the guy asked me, he said, are you in line? I said, no, I'm waiting on my wife. I said, you go ahead. And as he walked by, I had this overpowering urge. I'm not kidding you. There's no way I could have resisted it. And I just looked at that, and it was like, shared this with that man. Okay. So I handed my phone over to him, and I said, sir, I don't know you, and I don't know how you think. But I said, take a look at this. These wackos are going to try to take over the White House September 17th. And he looked at that and he said, wow. He said, can you send me that? I said, like a text message? He said, you on Facebook? I said, yeah. And he gave me his name. So I pulled up Facebook, typed it in, and found him. I said, can I send you a friend request? He said, yeah. He said, I just friended a couple guys over here earlier today. He said, I kind of go around sharing conservative things with people. And I went, did you say conservative? He said, yeah. And I said, okay. I said, I sent you a friend request, and I sent this thing. I did a screen capture of it. I said, I sent that to you. He said, that's great. He said, I come to, anytime I go to town, he said, I usually try to witness to somebody. And I went, did you say witness? He said, yeah, and I had to go find my wife. I said, well, I sent it all to you. And as I walked away, I sent him a message on Facebook, and I said, I'm a pastor and a patriot. So the next morning, I get up. He had sent me a message overnight, and it had these three letters in it. KJB. And I said, you said my three favorite letters. He's a King James Bible believer. So, yeah, we're friends on Facebook now. But I thought about it, and I was on the way in Monday morning, and I was pondering that takeover. You know, they tried this during the Antifa riots right after George Floyd. And they were warned in no uncertain terms. There was no ambiguity whatsoever to this. If you touch this fence in an effort to breach this fence, you will be met with multiple bullets. And they mean it. It wasn't a threat. Like that guy last night. Now, whether he had a gun, the press was trying to get the Secret Service chief to say that it was a gun. What he said was he reached in, pulled out an object, and held it in a manner consistent with someone trying to shoot a gun. That's all they need. If you're at the White House, it is a different set of rules. It has to be. Wars get started when you assassinate the sitting prime minister or president or king. Wars start that way. Doesn't matter who's president. Wars start that way. So there is a reason why no patriot in America ever took a shot at Barack Obama or Joe Biden or Hillary Clinton. That's not how we think. So anyway, and I got to thinking, okay, now, how serious is this? I mean, I know they're pushing it, and I know why. The radical communist satanic left field in this country and around the world. They hate this country. They've hated it for years. They want this country weakened. Remember Lucifer. How thou cut down which didst weaken the nations. What's Lucifer been doing in the last 100 years? Weakening our nation. Divide, conquer. And we are a divided people right now. We had a black president that I hoped would draw everybody together. He had none of that in mind. He furthered the division. I mean, people in this area, in the St. Louis area, black and white, we just all want to get along. We want to go to work. We want to have our families. We want to have our barbecues. We want to go to ball games. We want to high-five one another at the ball game. We don't care about any of that stuff. So there's great division here. So anyway, but they want our nation weakened. They want our president dead. And I absolutely believe the plan was to put the pawns up on the front line, because that's what the chess game is. You put the pawns up, let them all get killed. So it didn't matter to Soros or whoever else is behind this, ex-vice presidents, ex-secretary of state, didn't matter who they were and how many of them there were. They're cannon fodder. You use them on the front lines, give the cannon something to shoot at, and when the cannons are reloading, that's when you shoot back. And that was the goal. They wanted U.S. troops, Secret Service, to fire on these protesters and kill them to give them a reason to take over the country, legally or illegally. Either way or the other. It does not matter to these people. So now so plan A didn't work. Here's plan B. Plan B. We're going to seize the White House. We're going to take it over in a radical communist takeover between now and the election. Why not after the election? Because it won't matter after the election. They will have either won or lost. Either way. And the thought came to my head. You know, I would go and stand out in front of the White House with an AR. And defend my country. I would. And there's just not very much violence in me at all. You ask my sister, I'm not a fighter. And then I thought, you know, I'm probably not the only one that thinks that. If you want to research this out, the hashtag is hashtag White House Siege. SIEGE, and that's all one word. If you want to research that out, find out how, all you got to do is go to Twitter and type in that hashtag in a search, and it'll show you everything that's related to it. And you know what you're going to see? You're going to see a lot of patriots going, over my dead body. And it makes me think, what if these people are serious about this? And they actually get provoked to try to breach. Let's say 100,000 people show up. Let's say 500,000 people. You know, they have million marches all the time. What if 500,000 people showed up saying, okay, there'd be safety in numbers. And another 500,000 patriots show up who say, not on my watch. You're not taking over my president, you're not taking over my White House, you're not going to do it. Our country's not perfect, but it's not going to turn into a communist third world toilet. Not going to happen. And then, my friends, you will have a war. Now, is this serious? Are some people going to take note of this and say, yes, I'm going to lay siege to the White House. I'm going to be part of the takeover. Just like the hippies at Woodstock. We're going to turn it into Woodstock. There's going to be love, peace, marijuana, heroin. Yeah, it's going to be Chaz all over again, only in the White House. And I'm just saying, if that happens, it's not going to be good. Totally not going to be good. I've got something to show you in a few minutes, and I will give you warning that when I do, you should probably, and I don't do this. I just never do this, but this one I think I got to show you. It involves a picture, and now I don't have nudie pictures here, okay? But this one is going to be a little bit on the vulgar side. Because of a certain doll that came out. This article, I've mentioned it Sunday, Mariah Carey's sister is suing their mother for sexually abusing her as a child in satanic rituals. Allison Carey accused mom Patricia of forcing her to perform on strangers when she was 10. Allison Carey, 57, is suing her mother. She alleges she also had to watch other children being abused during middle-of-the-night satanic worship meetings that included ritual sacrifices. As a result, Allison, now 57, suffers from post-traumatic stress disorder and depression, according to the court papers filed in New York. Now, you know, you would think, okay, this is a stunt. Well, if you're a lawyer and you take this case and there's no evidence other than a 57-year-old woman who has some mental problems, PTSD, you could characterize it that way. I'm not. I'm saying this is how a lawyer would see it. A 57-year-old woman who's trying to remember things back when she was 10 and she's got a few mental disorders. Do you take that case if there's no corroborating evidence? Not on your life. But you take it in hopes that at least you'll get a settlement out of it and you're going to get a chunk of change. Just for aggravating Mariah Carey's mother, you're going to get something out of it. But you have to have corroborating evidence. There has to be something somewhere that validates the case or totally disproves it. Like, oh, she said she was 10. Well, she got adopted out when she was 5, or she moved in with her dad when she was 3, or whatever. She was never around our house. And if you can prove that, then you got the case. So there's something here that tells me, because they actually filed the case. Allison, who is estranged from her superstar sister, once worked as a world's oldest profession. Friends insist she is not after Maria's fortune. She has lost all teeth and wants to pay to get them repaired. Allison's lawsuit filed at the state of New York Supreme Court says defendant, who is plaintiff's mother, allowed and encouraged other male persons whose identities are at present unknown to engage in acts as defined by New York penal law. Okay, while plaintiff was approximately 10 years of age. Let's see here. Is anything else? Defendant also forced plaintiff to witness adults engage in acts with both adults and children during middle of the night satanic worship meetings that included ritual sacrifices. Now, you don't normally put that in a lawsuit unless you can prove it. And it's just enough to bring up the allegations of, you know, you forced your 10-year-old daughter to do this with so-and-so. Okay, but then you say, well, we got to bring in the satanic part of it. Let's not. Jury's not going to fall for that. But it's there. Defendant, as a result of the above, plaintiff has been diagnosed with PTSD, anxiety, major depression, leading her to misuse both legal and illegal drugs in an attempt to suppress the horrific memories, undergo extensive professional counseling. More than likely, they'll bring in the counselor's records for this. Plaintiff now demands compensatory money damages for immense psychological and physical damage, mental pain, anguish, intentional infliction of severe emotional distress. Weird, weird, weird stuff. Let's see here. All right, now, let me read this. Let me put this one up on the screen. This is a good one. My buddy Joshua sent me this. It came alive! Astronauts recount wild ride home on SpaceX's Crew Dragon. U.S. astronauts Bob and Doug. How's it going, eh? Some of you will remember that. Home 2 days from a landmark mission as NASA's first crew to fly a privately built vehicle into orbit recounted on Tuesday the loud, jarring ride they experienced through Earth's atmosphere before safe landing at sea. Their splashdown on Sunday in the Gulf of Mexico, Florida, a mode of return for human space flight last used by NASA 45 years ago, capped the first launch of astronauts from U.S. soil in 9 years. At a news conference from NASA's Johnson Space Center in Houston, their first extensive public remarks since coming home, Behnken, 50, and Hurley, 53, described, that would be my name, coming down through the atmosphere at 25,000 miles an hour, you would name me Hurley. Described their tense final moments of their 64-day journey. The duo endured tremendous jolting forces as the SpaceX-built Crew Dragon, an acorn-shaped vehicle that had carried them to the International Space Station, fired rocket thrusters to slow its descent for reentry, then pierced the outer atmosphere. It came alive! It doesn't sound like a machine. It sounds like an animal coming through the atmosphere, is what they said. Boo. All right, now, let me do this. I'll put this up on the screen here. Now, children play with devils. Children play with devils. I'm pretty sure that that's in the Bible. I'm pretty sure. You're not supposed to play with devils. I thought I had saved the... I don't want that. I thought I'd saved the Wikipedia article on trolls. Let me pull that up and read you a little bit about what trolls are. And I'll put that up on the screen too. A troll is a being in Scandinavian folklore, including Norse mythology and Old Norse sources. Beings described as trolls dwelled in isolated rocks, mountains, or caves, lived together in small family units, and are rarely helpful to human beings. In later Scandinavian folklore, trolls became beings in their own right, where they lived far from human habitation, are not Christian, and are considered dangerous to human beings. What does that sound like to you? Dev ills. Depending on the source, their appearance varies greatly. Trolls may be ugly and slow-witted, or look and behave like human beings with no particularly grotesque characteristic about them. Trolls are sometimes associated with the particular landmarks in Scandinavian folklore, which at times may be explained as formed from a troll exposed to sunlight. In other words, if a feature in nature looked like it had a human form to it, somebody would say, that was a troll that got stuck in the sun. The Old Norse nouns troll and troll, variously meaning fiend, demon, werewolf, or jotun, fiend, devil, Beowulf, there was a troll in that. According to philologist Vladimir Orel, likely borrowed from Old Norse, developed from Proto-Germanic neuter noun trullan. The origin of the Proto-Germanic word is unknown. Additionally, the Old Norse verb trilla, to enchant or to turn into a troll, in the Middle High German verb to flutter, both developed from the Proto-Germanic verb trullanen, a variative of trullan. Pardon my Norwegian. In Norse mythology, troll, like thurs, is a term applied to the jotnar. Now, jotnar is a word. I looked this up yesterday. These are like giants. And we know what giants are. Half and half. Half human, half god. And I didn't know this, but this is the coat of arms of Iceland. It has a dragon, a bull, an eagle, and a giant, a jotnar. And to me, this is very similar to the four cherubs. Some of you were going, I was just thinking that. Well, I was too. Where you have a bull, an eagle, and not a dragon, but you have a human. But in this case, it's a jotnar. It's a, if I'm saying that right, jotnar or jotnar. I don't know if the J is silent. But you have a dragon in there as well, where you would have a lion. Or maybe this eagle is a griffin. Who knows? But I just thought that was interesting. But basically, trolls are devils. And any story, if you ever remember your fairy tales from childhood, and they told stories, the story of Three Billy Goats Gruff, there was a troll that lived under a bridge, remember that? And so now kids are playing with them. Playing with trolls. Playing with devils. So let's do that. Let's look, Leviticus 17:17. They shall no more offer their sacrifices unto devils, after whom they have gone a-whoring. Remember that verse. Deuteronomy 32:17. They sacrificed unto devils, not to God, to gods whom they knew not, to new gods that came newly up, whom your fathers feared not. 2 Chronicles 11:15, he ordained him priests for the high places and for the devils. And I think this word devils here in 2 Chronicles 11:15, if I remember correctly, it seems like that word devils there, let me pop that in Blue Letter Bible, 2 Chronicles 11. I think the word there is Sair. Let me look that up. Blue Letter Bible. Yep. Look at there. I was right. He ordained him priest for the high places and for the Sair, which is the only other time that word is used. I'll click on that at Strong's number 8163. And if I remember right, it's only used in... Oh, no, they used it to describe here. Oh, check this out. Esau is a Sair. Ba, ba, ba. But it varyingly describes a goat. And then one time it's used as a devil. Multiple times where it's talking about one kid of the goats. So, I mean, does it make sense now why Jacob, when he went in to pretend that he's Esau, took the hide off of a goat, wrapped it around his arms, says, "Hi, Dad, it's me, Esau. Come, let me feel ya." Felt his arms. Yeah, that's Esau, because he couldn't see. So then you go all the way down to where it shows up in Isaiah. The wild beast of the desert shall also meet with the wild beast of the islands, and the satyr shall cry to his fellow. And it's interesting to me that the translators just went ahead and transliterated the word, Sair. But it's a half-human, half-beast is what it is. Half-human, half-beast. So that word there, to me, is definitely a connection. He ordained him priest for the high places and for the devils and for the calves which he had made. Look at this. Psalm 106:37. Yea, they sacrificed their sons and their daughters unto devils. Now, folks, what my wife was playing this video on the way in yesterday, and I'm just shaking my head. And I said, "Send me that." She said, "I don't know how." Well, another lady in our church, Sister D, sent it to me a couple days earlier. Now, this woman, she says, "You know, I post stuff on Facebook like happy stuff. I want everybody to love one another." She said, "I never get into politics, never get into controversy, anything like that." But she said, "I'm putting my foot down." She's in a store, and they're selling the devil dolls. They're selling them. DreamWorks, isn't that Disney? Who owns DreamWorks? Not DreamWords. Who owns that? Is that a subsidiary of Disney now? Let's find out. Is it an American Animation Studio? Universal Pictures? Ah! Okay. So, they're not Disney. They're still Hollyweird. So you've got, let me get that Google page back up. If I can find which one it was. We're going to talk about whether or not the the bomb at, yeah, that video we're gonna show you. Did I get rid of it? We're going to talk about whether or not, what did I do with, oh, no, I found it. Hang on. Whether or not the bomb at Beirut was a nuclear missile, because there's an article out and people are believing it. And I'm going to show you the article's a lie. It's a blatant lie, a ridiculous lie. I'm going to show it to you. So anyway, the lady's going through and she says, you know, these things are supposed to make noise. And there's a demo mode where they sing like you're in the package in the store. And she said, you know, you're supposed to just press its belly and it makes music, kind of like Care Bears or stuff like that. Just press the belly or like tickle me Elmo and it's supposed to talk. But she said, the button's not on the belly. That's not where the button is. And I'm going to play another video. Let me turn the sound down so YouTube doesn't have a bowel movement on me and throw a fit. But these dolls are now pulled off the market. That's where they put the button. If you want the doll, the devil, to sing or make its noises, that's what you push. Or that's what your 3-year-old and 4-year-old grandchild has to push, that button. And it makes like, oh my, hey, That's, now, of course, DreamWorks is saying, oh dear, we didn't know. Oh my, oh, it was designed by our engineers so that when you gently set the doll down, like on a pedestal or a stool of some kind, that the troll would begin to making merry noises. We had no intention whatsoever of being vulgar. Oh dear. Baloney. Somebody said, I guarantee you the perverts. The perverts are running the asylum now. The perverts are running the Washington, D.C. asylum. The perverts are running the Wall Street asylum. The perverts are running the merchandising asylum. The perverts are running the school asylum. The perverts are running the seminary asylum, and they're running the church asylum. Let me back that up a little bit while that just plays in the background while you ponder the fact. Now, to get it out of demo mode, the lady who made this video said, you have to push this in and hold it for 5 seconds to get it out of demo mode. And then it starts chirping out the sounds. So that verse, what was it? They're going, what? They've gone a whoring after devils? Is that, you know, Captain Obvious would say, well, of course it is, Captain Obvious. But they did pull them off the shelf. The lady took it up to the counter. She filmed herself doing this. She took it up to the counter, and she showed them what happened, and they said, let's see here what else is going on in this world that I can, let me go through my window screens here. Let me, no, not that. Yeah, let me play this in the background. And this is a 7-minute video of the Beirut blast. Okay, now while that's up there, I'm just going to leave that there, and while I direct you to a website, and I'll put this website on the screen here just in a few minutes. The website is from a site called Veterans Today. Now, you would think this is for people who've been in the military. Serving the clandestine community since 2004. And they have a bunch of articles up there on various topics. Now, I have not looked at any other article on this website, but I have a suspicion, and I'll tell you what that suspicion is in a minute. While you're watching this 10-minute video of the Beirut blast, now the big blast hasn't happened yet, but it's building up to it. This article that I'm going to show you is written by a man by the name of Gordon Duff, who is the senior editor, maybe because he's the oldest. And I want you to listen to his resume for a minute while you're watching this video. Gordon Duff is a Marine combat veteran of the Vietnam War. He is a disabled veteran and has worked on veterans and POW issues for decades. What kind of work? Don't know. Gordon is an accredited diplomat. Accredited with who? Diplomat for what? And I'm reading this for a reason. And is generally accepted as one of the top global intelligence specialists. Top global intelligence specialist. He manages the world's largest private intelligence organization and regularly consults with governments challenged by security issues. Duff has traveled extensively, is published around the world, and is a regular guest on TV and radio in more than, quote-unquote, several countries. Now, he quoted and unquoted several countries. He is also a trained chef, wine enthusiast. I would say probably a little too much wine. And there's a reason why I'm saying all this. Amid motorcyclist and gunsmith specializing in historical weapons and restoration. Business experience and interest are in energy and defense technology. Now, notice that while I've been reading this, the smoke has changed and intensified somewhat. Let me full screen this. The smoke has changed and intensified. This is from The Sun. YouTube, please, I'm using this for comment. Please don't flag the video. And what you're going to see shortly is that the fire is going to intensify as well. Now, I'm going to turn up the volume because you're going to notice in just a short while a very dramatic change in both the volume of the fire and the fire itself prior to the explosion. Now, here's the claim. The claim is that this was a nuclear missile strike. And his article, let me read his article headline. Israel hits Beirut with nuclear missile. Trump and Lebanese government confirm. And new infrared images from two cameras. Now, I'm going to show you those infrared images for a minute, but I want you to ask yourself the question. In the time that we've been sitting watching this video, if you lived in Beirut and you happened to be down at the port and you saw this fire going off, Would you carry with you an infrared camera? Now, there are infrared devices that they make that attach to a cell phone. They make them. They're pretty expensive. To get any kind of infrared camera, you're not going to just shell out $50 at Walmart. That's a specialist piece of equipment, and you're going to pay out some money for it. Now, I want you to ask yourself the question, what are the chances that somebody who happens to be carrying a piece of infrared equipment was at the scene of this fire as the fire started. What are the chances? Okay. Well, it could happen. Maybe somebody down there doing some surveying, somebody on the fire department. Okay. What are the chances that two people, two different people, had infrared cameras filming the exact same event at the same time? Not from a news helicopter, not from a police helicopter. Two different people from two different views carrying infrared cameras at the in the same place at the same time. What are the chances? Again, you just don't pull those out of your pocket. You have to own one for a specific reason because you need it, and you shelled out some money for it. You don't go to Infrared R Us every day and buy a new camera off the shelf every 3 or 4 days. You just don't do that. Because he says in this article, new infrared camera images from two cameras. Now, I already know that the infrared pictures that I'm going to show you are not, in fact, infrared. They're not. Yep, Kevin, you're right. You're right. I already know that. They're not infrared images. And I'm going to prove it to you. I'm not just going to make stuff up out of my head. I'm going to prove what I say to you. Now, do I know everything that happened down here? No. Do I know it wasn't a nuclear strike? I will say this. I'm 90% convinced it's not a nuclear strike. Some things just don't add up. And if they don't add up, they're not true. Now, why am I even dealing with this? Because David said, I hate every false way. There's usually a reason why somebody lies. Remember the commandment? Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. So, let's put on our conspiracy theory faces for a while. Are we not conspiracy theorists? Yes, all of us are. So, does a conspiracy theory like this support our worldview? Of course it does. Because, number one, if the whole media world doesn't report that it's a nuclear blast and somebody comes out and says it is, why, then they're covering something up. Now, we all know the news people lie a lot. Do they lie about everything they say? No. But we don't trust them. Uh-oh. You hear it? It's getting louder. The fire's in... Oh, look. Uh-oh. Uh-oh. Something's brewing. Something happened. Something just changed in the intensity of that fire. And now, something very serious is about to happen. Wait for it. Notice the fire. Notice it does look like there's some fireworks in there. Look at the intensity of the flames now. See them getting brighter, hotter, as if they reached... There it is. Look at that. Look at that. That's absolutely insane. Now I want to take you back to the moment of the blast. See if I can hit it just at the right time. Okay, there's your initial blast. I want you to look at that for a moment and ask yourself the question, does that look like a nuclear explosion? Here is a nuclear explosion. This one is, let's see here. Yep. Here is a two-camera setup in position, 35 millimeters, CinemaScope photography, the wide shot, and this is a close-up of the blast. This was the atomic cannon detonation known as Shot Grable in 1953. Now, what's the first thing you notice about an atomic nuclear blast? What's the first thing you notice? Notice now that you can start seeing the mountains behind, the ground. But what do you see here? Nothing. The reason why you can see nothing is because in a nuclear chain reaction, and it doesn't matter how big it is, doesn't matter if it's a, you know, a 15 megatons, doesn't matter if it's 1,000 kilotons, doesn't matter. In a nuclear chain reaction or an atomic chain reaction, they're always noted because of the intense brightness of it and the intense heat of the initial blast. That's the difference. Regular bombs, even the Moab bomb, mother of all bombs, look it up. And it packs a wallop. But you don't see that bright. I watch a lot of these atomic videos. I'm subscribed to a couple channels. And I'm just in awe of their power. When they detonated the Trinity, the first atomic test that they did, there was a guy standing 10 miles away that was looking at it, and it temporarily blinded him. Now, the first atomic bomb blast at Trinity site was nowhere near to the capability that we have now. Now we have hydrogen bombs, nuclear weapons. These were atomic, and I can't tell you the difference, but anyway, a lot less strength. But the initial blast is blinding to anybody who is looking at it. Anybody. That's the difference. Now, this article is making you think that, and I'll put it up on the screen now. Israel hits Beirut with nuclear missile. Trump and Lebanese government confirm new infrared images from two cameras. So let's break this down. Now, he does give us a picture. This is the original video frame, never posted anywhere, which I don't believe, that proves everything on Facebook and YouTube which was taken down as real. In other words, look at me. I'm the only one who has the goods. Now, what have I told you about websites like this? Look for the advertisements. See there? Here. Oh, look. Donate. Advertisement. 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 Sponsored content. Advertisement. 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 Because remember, I asked you the question, why would somebody lie? Why would somebody lie? What's their motivation for it? Unless you're psychotic, unless you have a mental illness or a disease of some kind where you can't control your functions, you lie on purpose. You do it for a reason. Either you're trying to cover something up, or there's something you're trying to gain from it. And in this case, I don't think he's covering anything up. I think he's trying to gain. Page hits. Page views. Twitter posts, Facebook posts, all of that counts in this guy's favor because he gets paid every time somebody clicks. I've clicked on this website now maybe half a dozen times. He got paid every time I did. Every single time I did. So why would he lie? Now, this picture here, as far as I can tell, actual photograph, there is something in the air here. Can you tell what it is? No, not really. You can't. Well, that looks like a missile to me. Tell me what a missile looks like. Tell me what a rocket. What does a rocket have coming out of its backside? Same thing as us, right? Okay. Now, here is infrared picture number one. Oh, look. There is an arrow-looking object here. Now, here is infrared picture number two. Oh, wow, look at that. That really looks like an arrow. But does that match that? No. It is significantly different in length. And I would say appearance, too. It is, okay, it's not a square, it's not an octagon, it's not a hexagon, but it is not the same object. And, there it is again. Oh, look, that's proof right there. And he says it. These are infrared pictures. Now, do you know what an infrared camera does? That your camera on your phone or your Nikon or whatever doesn't do. The camera that on your phone or your Nikon, it detects light coming in and the variations of the light waves, which we call color, and prints them on something. And infrared doesn't do that. In fact, it doesn't care about light at all. Infrared doesn't need light. The only thing that infrared picks up is differences in temperature. Temperature. So the ground, let's say a helicopter is trying to chase a fugitive at night. He looks over the ground, sees the ground is black because the ground is cold. He can tell the difference between the grass and the parking lot because pavement's going to be hot, so it's going to shine white. And he can see a suspect running through the field. Remember the guy running that got caught in a cow field and the cow started chasing him in the middle of the night? Have you ever seen that one? That was hilarious. But he can follow the guy because the guy appears as a white human-shaped figure running through this blackened area, which is grass, because the signature of his body is hotter than the grass. That's all he can tell. Now, I want you to take a look at this picture for a minute. Yeah, you see white objects. But let me ask you a question. There's a motorcycle here. Does the tires of a motorcycle, are they the same temperature as that of a human body? You wouldn't think so. Now, what about all this smoke rising up? Do you think that smoke would be colder, because in this picture black would be cold, white would be hot? Do you think the smoke there in the background is hotter or colder than the temperature of those human bodies? Now, let me ask you this question. Do you think the stripes on this guy's shoes are colder than his legs and feet and arms and back and hair? This is not an infrared picture. Now, I read the guy's resume. He says he is a combat veteran, Vietnam, and a specialist. The largest privately owned military intelligence organization. That's what he said about himself. He's one of three things. He's either extremely gullible, and he's passing on information that someone else told him, and he just believes it. Or he is a deliberate liar, or he's just plain stupid and thinks you are too. Because I guarantee you, the stripe on that guy's shoes is not 40 degrees colder than his shoes are. Fact of it is, this is not an infrared photograph. This is a photographic negative. Now, I'm going to put this on this. If I were to show you this, here is this second camera. Remember, there's two guys now with highly specialized infrared cameras out there. Okay? So now I'm going to put, that's that picture there. So, all I did was, using an app on my iPhone, to turn that picture back to its original state. Oh, wrong one. Well, that's a little embarrassing. People slashing, human sacrifices. Anyway, let me zoom in on that. That picture that you saw is a photographic negative effect. The video, it was screen captured from a video and given the effect of a photographic negative. Do you see it now? What about that boy or whoever that was, guy was standing there? Oh, look, there he is. And I did. I basically applied the same effect to that. Now you see his shoes, don't you? Black tennis shoes, white stripe. Whereas here, oh, look, it's a black tennis shoe, white stripe. Or we have white tennis shoe, black stripe. The guy, again, he's either very gullible and actually believed that that was infrared, or he's deliberately lying, or he's just stupid. Which one do you think? Take your pick, because I don't know the guy. So now, by the way, does that object there, does that look like a missile or an arrow? See, I think that was photoshopped in. Let's see here. I don't like Windows Picture Viewer anymore. I mean, I really don't like Windows Picture Viewer anymore. Let's see. I thought I had another view of that. No, I don't. But anyway, so the guy lied. These are not, and that was in the main headline. New infrared images from two cameras. Infrared images from two cameras. He lied. Deliberately lied. Now, he is going to do a close-up of the first picture that we saw, like that there. And this is what he says. Pixel analysis says this is a good photo, thus debunking it will become a huge issue. An army of trolls is already on Twitter and Facebook. I guess, you see, and I already know. I thought about this all night. I said, you know what? There's going to be some people on YouTube that's going to leave some bad comments on my video because I'm debunking this. I don't care. I don't care. When I stand in judgment, I guarantee you, none of you guys are going to be there. So I don't give a flip what you say about me and how I'm a shill for the New World Order. If it's a lie, it's a lie. And if you want to believe lies, go ahead. If you want to believe that that is an infrared picture, then you're either A, gullible, B, a deliberate liar, see. Now, some people don't know the difference. So I'm going to add a fourth one here for those who fell for this article. They don't know the difference. Okay? They can't tell the difference. I told somebody last night, I'm a fact junkie. I read encyclopedias when I was a kid. And I read them. I don't know everything, but I know one or two things about a lot of things. And I know a photographic effect when I see one. And I know what infrared looks like versus a camera negative. Any of us from the 70s and 80s, man, come on, you know when you took your pictures to Photomat or Fox Photo and you got the package back, you got the negatives with it. And you know what they look like. Do what I did. Do a negative effect on those pictures. If you don't believe me. And then do one on an infrared picture and see if it comes out the same. This guy lied to you. And it's not the first time he did it in this article. So then he says, this infrared video makes much more sense than ammonia nitrate. On its own. Yes, NH4NO3 is an oxidizing agent and explosive under the right conditions. It is also very stable. Unless it's on fire, then it's not stable. In fact, if you look at any article, Wikipedia, whatever, on ammonium nitrate, and what happens to it is that after years, it starts to break down, making it more unstable. In fact, now, remember that video I showed you where it took a while and then all of a sudden the flames intensified, and then kaboom. Let me show you the almost identical thing that happened. This is, I'm going to turn volume down on this because there's a little bit of people going, oh, what the, okay. The Pepcon factory, I think it's in Nevada. There was explosion number one. Well, let's say explosion number two. Explosion number one already happened. Now, the Pepcon factory, do you know what they made? Rocket fuel, solid rocket fuel for the space shuttle. Okay? And I don't know all the chemical compounds, but everything here is very similar. The warehouse catches on fire. There is an explosion. Then at some point, the fire is going to greatly intensify. And the people filming this video, they're up on a mountain and they're going, ooh, do you hear that? You can tell that the flames get more intense. And understand, look at the smoke. Look how far these people are from that. Now watch. There's going to be some minor explosions. You're going to see a bunch of stuff flying through the air. Let me turn the sound up here because you're going to hear the bangs coming in much later. Now, I apologize if they're going to say any curse words here. There was one. Here's the other one. So now you know how far away they are. 10 miles, maybe? If you would have did one Mississippi, two Mississippi, three Mississippi. Okay, now get ready for the big mama. And I'm going to leave the sound up. There it is. Let's see if I can back up to this. Now, what do you see? Did you see a nuclear explosion there? See a nuclear explosion there? And see, the fire department was already miles down the road, and they were sitting on the side of the road going, we're not pulling up to that, and it's a good thing they did. Because this blast here, wait for it. Now, see the color of that smoke? See the color of that smoke? Well, let me forward it a little bit. You can't see it there. But it was that dark reddish. And that's what happens when you blow up ammonium nitrate. Now, let me get in some other lies he tells. He says, first explosion was caused by Gabriel anti-ship missile of Israel. How do you know? Second explosion was caused by Israel Delilah missile from F-16. Our country is in complete jeopardy with this lazy and corrupt regime. Then he says this. Trump confirms attack. Nuclear not mentioned. Well, wait a minute. He said, the article said, Israel hits Beirut with nuclear missile. Trump and Lebanese government confirm. No, they didn't. There was never a time when Trump came out and said, we think it was a nuclear blast. He never said that. He initially said, yeah, it could have been a bomb, could have been something like that. But he never said nuclear. Never. And the guy, again, he lied to you. And then I want you to notice how he does things. He says, the media in the West claiming that this was a massive nuclear-like explosion is from fireworks. So whoever stands grounded is an expert, because he said nuclear-like. He's not an expert. He doesn't know. Here's another one. Netanyahu said, we will do what is necessary in order to defend ourselves. An obvious warning to Hezbollah, and this Beirut explains the explosions in blah, blah, blah. But Netanyahu never said, we did this. Netanyahu never said, we attacked them with a small nuclear detonating device. Nuclear missile, he never said it, ever. Salami Haktan said, the destruction in Beirut is far larger than you can ever imagine. The city seems like it has been hit by a small-scale nuclear weapon. Is that official? No. Daily Mail Online, Beirut blast horror, mystery explosion, like a nuclear bomb, tears through the city. But it wasn't a nuclear bomb. You can tell the difference. Nobody was blinded by the light and the heat. Nobody was, except for the people that died. I was bloodied and dazed. Beirut strangers treated me like a friend. Now watch this. This is how he crafts the story. However, what influential and credible sources from Beirut are telling me is this. The Beirut explosion is about 100 times the energy than the 2015 Tianjin explosion, or 5.4 kilotons of TNT. Using linear extrapolation from Tianjin, which involved 800 tons of ammonium nitrate. So he's talking about Tianjin, China. There was ammonium nitrate explosion there, just like there was here. Now, his model number, his number that he's working from is 5.4 kilotons of TNT. Now, let me do this. Did you ever see the crater in Beirut? That's the crater it left. The warehouse was right here. This was 75% of their grain is gone now. Their year's supply of grain gone. 75% of it gone. They got a month's worth of food left for them. You pray for them. Notice the crater. Now, what I'm going to do, I got one of my new favorite websites. Get ready for this one. Where is it? Where? Let's see. Is it this one? No. Is it that one? No. Is it, it might be that one. No. So let me get rid of that. I've only got like 15 websites pulled up here. Is it the Trolls one? No. Is it this one? No. Is it that one? No. Is it that one? No. No. Where is it? Nuke map. You got to go to this site. It is awesome. Pick a place anywhere on the world. I've been blowing up Festus like you wouldn't believe. Oh, you got to pick it here. Beirut, Lebanon. You pick a place. Now, in this case, we're going to go to the exact spot where the warehouse, where the explosion took place. You can clearly see, here's the granary, here's the warehouse. And I'm going to put this right here. Now, what did he say? 5.4 kilotons of TNT. Ah, why did I do that? So, you put in 5.4 kilotons. It's a surface burst, not an air burst. Nuclear missiles, I won't say all of them, I'm not an expert. Most of them are air bursts because you get a better yield, better detonation. Hiroshima, Nagasaki, and Trinity site, they were all air bursts. All of them. You explode it like 800 feet up in the air. That way it goes out farther. This was a ground. So we 5.4 kilotons, surface burst, and you hit detonate. Now, the crater then is going to be this big, or maybe this big, the yellow part. Now, if I remove that, remember, part of this granary is still standing, and the crater is right here. But if I detonate 5.4 kilotons and zoom into that yellow spot, that's going to be your crater. That's not what happened. And by the way, feel free to go to Nuke Map and blow up any town that you want. Conventional nukes against Japan had 15 to 21 kilotons, but this explosion is different. It's because a modern tactical nuke that contains up to 10 kilotons of the hybrid material, including uranium. That's another thing. I spent days pulling up live feeds of Beirut because I wanted to see if there was anybody still surviving under that grain. Nobody's been wearing hazmat suits. Nobody's been wearing nuclear protective. Nobody's been down there with Geiger counters. Nobody. If you explode, what did he say? 5.4 kilotons of TNT. If you explode a nuclear fission device or fusion or whatever, if you explode a nuclear device, especially at ground zero, it's called the hot zone. You can't go there. The radiation signature left over within days of that explosion prevents it. Anybody down there is going to be dead in a month. That's a lie. Then he pulls this one out of the hat. Jeff Smith of the International Atomic Energy Association confirms this is a nuclear explosion. Now, I looked this guy up. There is a Jeff Smith, and there is a guy with the IA recording again. All right, we're back on. Da, 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 da. Anyway. Yeah, I know. I'm good. All right, thank you. Appreciate that. There is a Jeff Smith. He is with the IAEA, and there is nothing about... Now, here's my thing. Jeff Smith of the IAEA confirms this is a nuclear explosion. If Jeff Smith actually did that, why didn't he include the link in this article? Why didn't he do that? If he found somewhere on the internet where Jeff Smith of the IAEA saying this is a nuke, why didn't he put the link? It's because it's not there. It doesn't exist. He's making this stuff up. The smoke could well be missile fuel, which may mean a missile storage facility was hit. Now, that may be true. I have no idea what was in there. Well, I do. We're told Lebanon asked for nuclear investigators from Russia, but there's no attempt to protect the site, which, even if this were a modern, clean weapon, still be radioactive. He even says it, and there's nobody down there wearing nuclear suits. No one has been. No one. Beirut governor calls explosion a national disaster akin to Hiroshima. Okay, that's still not an official notice from the Beirut government saying, we suspect this was a nuclear bomb from Israel. No one of any substance is saying that, but he's making it up like they are. Please remember Beirut, Lebanon, in your prayers and thoughts. Many are dead and lots injured. Let's see here. Okay, here we go. The red smoke made me suspicious. He talks about the white smoke. Let me see if I can find that in this article. He says something about the white cloud at the beginning of it being evidence that it was a nuclear bomb. And I'm going, no. What that is, Hollywood special effects people, when they're going to blow something out or use like an air cannon, they compress the air, which means they also compress the humidity that's in the air. This is a port. And remember, the part of the crater is now filled up with seawater. So the explosion picks up all this humidity, compresses it in the air, and that's initially that white cloud that you see coming out. It's not high heat, it's compression. The red smoke is from an ammonium nitrate. Now, there was a ship. Let's see if I have that in my notes. I know I do. There was a ship called the Rosas. It was a ship out of, I think, Moldavia, which is related to Russia. And it was on its way to, let me see if I can put this up on the screen for you, a company called Fabrica de Explosivos in Mozambique had purchased several thousand tons, a couple thousand tons of ammonium nitrate. Now, ammonium nitrate is used in fertilizer, but it is also used in commercial explosives. So they buy this ammonium nitrate. This company here did this. They bought the ammonium nitrate. They loaded it on this beat-up old cargo ship called the Rosas. The Rosas is on its way to Mozambique, but it stops in Beirut because it has engine problems that need to be fixed. The problem with the Rosas is the company that owns the Rosas had not been paying the crew. They were owed back salary. The captain, there's an interview with the captain of this ship, and he tells the story. We pulled into Port Lebanon. We didn't have any money. We're owed the Lebanese government $100,000 in port fees because we're stuck there. We can't even afford to get the ship fixed. So the Beirut port is stuck with a ship full of ammonium nitrate explosive that they don't know what to do with. They held the prisoners on board for over 8 months as prisoners, and the company still wasn't going to pay the bills. So what happened was, they offloaded, they thought maybe they could take on a cargo in Beirut and use that for cash to pay the bills and to move on. But the cargo they were going to load was going to break the ship. It was an old rusty beat up cargo ship. So they said, we can't do it. So they said, fine, we're keeping your ship. So they offloaded all of that ammonium nitrate into that warehouse. And it sat there for 6 years. That's why if you look right now, if you go to YouTube right now and look, you will see that they are still protesting. The whole government of Lebanon resigned. The whole government resigned. Why? Because everybody started protesting. Because the government was holding all this over 2,000 tons of ammonium nitrate explosive in this warehouse. Meanwhile, the warehouse, seawater, salt, it's rusting the daylights out of this warehouse. So guess what happens? Somebody stupidly sent a crew of guys with cutting torches, acetylene gas torches, to repair the rotted building where the ammonium nitrate and other stuff was stored. Boom. Now, I asked the question. You go read this article and show me one halfway legitimate link to someone saying we have 100% proof this was a nuclear device. Because I read the article. I read the whole article. The guy says, I have sources. Look what he says. He says, getting reports from Beirut, a technical miniature nuclear bomb has been used to attack the port. What reports? What reports? Where's the source of what he's talking about? He never gives it. Not one time. Not once. Go on down. Let's see here. What else they got here? 7 8. And it shows a lot of videos of the explosion, right? Winds blown out 7 kilometers away indicates a huge blast. Again, suggesting this was indeed a... No, it doesn't suggest that. It suggests it was a big explosion. Dramatic images coming from Beirut. My thoughts are with everyone affected. Close to ground zero in this video of the explosion in Beirut. A lot of casualties. Beirut explosion. Aftermath of massive explosion. He's got a lot of links here to a lot of videos of it. And then there's Mr. Gordon Duff, the liar. Now, I'm gonna float a guess. Can I do that? Can I float a guess? I've not read any other articles. I haven't had time. I just saw this last night. I started thinking, why would he blame Israel? Why would he blame Israel? Would this guy be the first conspiracy theorist to hate Israel? He wouldn't be. I put this guy along the same place as Mike Adams, the health ranger. Everything the guy says is, I won't say 90% lying. Oh, what other articles does he have on here? Let's see here. Boris Johnson, Trump. Okay, yeah, we like Trump. Okay, so what? Ah. VT was right. GOP alters photos of big-nosed Jews. Well, maybe, I don't know. Maybe he likes Jews. I don't know. But there's got to be a reason why this guy, he's either A, gullible, B, a liar, C, stupid. But people, I've said this, and I'm going to say it over and over and over and over again. And the haters are going to hate. And the people are going to call me shills, and I'm getting paid by the New World Order, and blah, 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 blah. If it's a lie, you don't tell it. I don't care what it supports. If it's a lie about coronavirus, you don't tell it. If it's a lie about the explosion, you don't tell it. If you don't know, you say, I don't know. You can say, well, I guarantee it's that way. Okay, would you put your soul on that? Would you put your soul on that? Would you guarantee your soul? Would you trade your soul for the truth of what you think in your head? My friends, God is true and every man's a liar, including this one. And I'm as capable of being wrong as anybody. And you know what? There's a chance I could be totally wrong about that being a nuke. But I'm not counting on it anytime soon. I know for a fact the guy lied. I know for a fact the guy didn't quote any reputable sources. He didn't link to any of the statements that he made other than showing some videos and what people said. Oh, it looked like a nuke. Not if you actually compare them. They don't. They don't look the same. Not when you look at the damage that was done. A nuke that he said would have blown that, 5.7 kilotons? You examine a crater, evidence doesn't support it. And I'm just saying, be careful. Because if you pass on information that's a lie, I'm not saying you're a liar. Maybe you fell for something. I've done it before. But I've learned to be cautious when it comes to internet rumors. And I've preached this hundreds of times. Okay, maybe scores. Okay, maybe five times. But I've preached it. That you don't lie to support your version of the truth. Paul said that we have not used cunningly devised fables. Now, why did Paul say that? Because already, here's a good one, not giving heed to Jewish fables. They shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Now, who does that sound like? You can point your finger at all kinds of people in the world saying, oh, they're believing a lie, they're believing a lie, they're believing a lie. I believe the truth. And the truth is, no one's ever been in space. The earth is flat. There are no satellites giving us satellite weather pictures of the earth. That doesn't happen. And you're calling God a liar if you think the earth is round. See, everybody's got their version of the truth. But the truth of it is, they turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. and we don't, here we go, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith, so do. Refuse profane and old wise fables. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. You know what's what I'm seeing a lot of? I don't know why YouTube keeps suggesting this stuff to me, because I never watch it. But I'm getting suggested all these videos where people are having dreams about Jesus, dreams about the rapture, dreams about what's going to happen to Trump, dreams about this, dreams about that. And I don't trust any of them. I don't trust a one of them. I don't care if one of them is true. I wouldn't trust it. The only thing that I trust are the words that are in this book. And so should you. You also should trust only what is written in this Bible. Then you got the people out there talking about conspiracy theories. Well, did you know King James was Freemason? Did you know King James was a Rosicrucian? Did you know he was a homosexual? Do you know who I found out was a homosexual? Raymond Burr, Perry Mason. Oh, I've been watching Perry Mason every night. I'm reading a bio and I'm going, what? He had a partner? Ah. Yeah, we can all believe something that ain't true. And we can all make the mistake of passing it around because it supports a conspiracy theory narrative of the world that all politicians are lying, that all news outlets are lying. They're all trying to cover up the New World Order. And folks, I think you ought to start picking your fights better. You'll post something like this, and if anybody like me challenges it, you explode like a nuclear bomb. Unfriend people. And I've said this one before, too. The number of times that you've cried wolf when there was no wolf. And then you tell people and complain why you can't get anybody to believe you about Jesus and the Bible and the second coming and the rapture and the Antichrist. Nobody will believe you. And you sound persecuted, but you're not. All you are is a victim of your own reputation. That's all you are. That's not persecution. That's God giving you a whipping. Because you didn't bother to check anything out. You didn't bother. You said, it sounds like what I believe, so I'm going to promote this. I'm going to push this. You say, well, I didn't come up with a lie. No, but you shared it to everybody on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, wherever. You shared it. Wanted everybody to believe it. Now, sharing it and saying, I don't know if this is true. Somebody help me figure out if this is true. That's one thing. That's being honest. Because like I said, if you don't know, just say, I don't know. I don't know. And there's a lot of things that I don't know. But I knew when I saw the pictures that it wasn't infrared, so I knew he lied about that. I could tell by the explosion that it wasn't a nuclear explosion, because nuclear explosions blind people, and they blind cameras. Take specialist photograph stuff to film nuclear explosions. It does. And with a nuclear bomb, there's always severe radiation at ground zero, and no one is wearing radiation suits. No one is. So whatever the guy's motivation for, maybe he just wanted the money. Maybe it's pride of life. I read his resume. He either thinks that he is some big military analyst, or he wants people to think that he is some big military analyst, an intelligence person. But I'm not buying it. I wouldn't ask this guy for where the dime store is. I wouldn't ask him. Okay, So let's try to not follow fables. Okay? Let's try that. What else can I shill about? Let's see, that's Beirut. Let's see here, explosive compound and detonator. Yeah, Mozambique. Yeah, I read that. I'll be honest with you, I'm more concerned about this White House siege than I am, I won't say practically everything, but a lot of things. I don't have a lot of time. I had a study that I did last week, was going to try to do it Thursday, and I just didn't feel good enough to do it. But it's called Seven Times, and Lord allows me to do it either tomorrow or Thursday, I will, because it was a pretty good study. But folks, let's get behind the truth. What does the truth make people? Free. Okay? It makes people free. Now, the person who sent me this, I appreciate them sending it to me. Because some people said, Pastor Mike, will you take a look at this for me? And sometimes I get to and sometimes I don't. But if I look at it, and I've had to, there was somebody who sent me a couple things in succession, in series, and I went, that's a lie, that's a lie. And I felt bad. I said, man, I hate saying this. But that's not true. I know it's not true. And they said, no, that's why we send it to you, because we want to know. Okay. If you need a watchman, if you need a watchman, that's what I think God called me into. That's why I call it the Watchman Broadcast. And if you need a watchman, you need him to be awake, not drunk. He's got to be able to spot the enemy from the farthest point possible, which means height. And it's not easy being up in the heights all the time. It's not easy being up there, because sometimes I'm not very high. Sometimes I'm pretty low. But then it takes somebody that somebody has some confidence in. And that's not easy to do either. To do the number of sermons, teachings, things that I do, try to do every week, and not be wrong is not possible. It's not possible. And it's not easy. And I'm not trying to get you to feel sorry for me. I'm just saying, this is my philosophy behind things, how I see things. I understand and I'm aware of the trust that many of you have put on me. And I appreciate it, and I take it very seriously. So the people who are going to hate me, hate. In fact, if you want to, I can give you some real reasons to hate me. Okay? I didn't even mean some really good ones. But just because I knocked down one of your favorite conspiracy theories, because the guy didn't say anything that you could put your hooks in and say, yep, that's true. He didn't. The article fails miserably. Okay? And again, it was the pictures that tipped me off on that. I knew they weren't ultraviolet. I knew they weren't infrared. I knew they were negatives. Therefore, it's a fake. And whatever that arrow shape was, somebody stuck that in there later. Don't tell me they didn't. But anyway, the watchman, if he blows that alarm, he's got to be right. Can he make a mistake? Yeah, everybody does. Okay? But now you're the watchman for some people. Not just me, you are. And if you keep blowing the trumpet all the time and there's no wolf, there's no sword, there's no enemy coming, it's the reason why the salt loses its savor. It is therefore good for nothing. We try to make a mistake. I knew it as soon as I did it, it's a mistake. Damn. Good to be with you today. Apologize for the glitch. I don't know what happened. Try to figure it out. Church tomorrow night, Wednesday night, 7 p.m. Central. Come be with us. Join us. We love you. You're the reason why we do what we do.